All right, everybody, welcome to this week where we're going to be talking about one of the greatest movies, not greatest movies, but one of the good movies that ended 2023, which was Five Nights at Freddy's. Honestly, I believe it was a very fun and thrilling movie, and it brought a lot of the game features in. I did have a couple questions, and maybe I was the one because I didn't maybe read the comics, but I did have a lot of trying to understand what was going on a little bit of who was whom, right? And that goes in because I haven't played all the games. I'm actually barely playing the first one, which is Five Nights at Freddy's, right? And I'm just stuck in number level. I'm on the fourth night, I made it. I passed the fourth night. I'm on the fifth night, and it's just getting super hard. without further ado, let us start off with our theme song, and then we will talk about Five Nights at Freddy's.
If you are prone to scare easily, avoiding all the scary horror movies, you'll never watch but are intrigued to. Geo and Alex watch and review, so you don't have to. So you don't have to.
Alright, so this one was a very anticipated movie for any of us horror film fanatics and who have loved the games and everything. It was just really what we were waiting for and wanting to watch, and I believe it did very well. We have Josh Hutcherson, who plays Mike Schmidt, who is basically the guard for the place. We have, you know, our return of Matthew Lillard, who plays Steve Raglan, and then we just have other people there that our coincidences. I'm sorry, just those are the ones that are the big main ones. But we, you know, we get the whole premise that we have this guy who is kind of haunted by his past, and his past is that he lets go of his brother or doesn't take care of him at the time, and then all of a sudden someone takes him, and they either never find him or they find him dead. And so, unfortunately, he's haunted with that. He has to take care of his sister, and he just has a lot of issues with that. And so now he gets this opportunity to work at Fazbear's Freddy's, or because, you know, they need a night watch there. And obviously, for anybody who's played the game, and if you've never played the game, you're basically working at the game. Basically, it says that you got this job, you're security officer, and you're in one room, and you're looking through the cameras, and as you start looking through the cameras, the animatronics start moving and start getting closer to you, because their goal is to, you know, get you. And so the whole time you're looking at the cameras, making sure that you're not wasting all the battery that you have, and if they get anywhere close to you, you close the door, wait till they kind of leave, open it, and so on and so forth. It's a very strategic game, a lot of jump scares into that. The movie tried to base it a lot on it and bring a little bit of the backstory, like the kids that actually are haunting the animatronics, and exactly just explains how they kind of got into it, who's the one who created them. And we get to the point where we realize that the haunted past of the brother actually comes to life because the person who hires him is actually the one who was the one who took his brother. He ends up finding out that time in that moment, and I don't think it ever is discovered by the authorities. So we get him finally understanding what happened to his brother, but throughout the whole time it kind of was a bit slow, because like when you look between game adaptations into movies, you know, it's kind of hard, right? You can either go super cheesy, like how Doom was. Like, if you never watched that one, it's not really a horror one. That's kind of like a monster genre. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again, but it it turned into a ridiculous one. The game was just basically, you know, the Doom one, you showed your hand and you're just shooting monsters. The whole movie didn't have any of that aspect until the end. So in this one, we're, you know, the whole time you're thinking, how are they going to implement this? Now, I also was thinking, how is it going to be different, you know, from the one movie we already reviewed that we talked about with Nicolas Cage, right? Because we had Nicolas Cage do one where he basically is beating the living bejeebers out of all of the animatronics that were grabbed by the occult, you know, an evil cult. And so I wanted to see how it was going to compare with them. And again, this one ended up having some of the similarities kind of it, except that they didn't fight them. They were just more like, oh, look, they like my sister and they want to play with me, because obviously they were kids. And they then wanted to, you know, convert her into one of them. And he was like, no way. So it kind of had some goodness where you're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And don't trust them. But then it was just kind of like, well, that's kind of strange that, you know, they the whole time seemed evil, but then all of a sudden they're not. And then now they somehow are, right? So it kind of was wishy-washy. Plus, like, the main character, because he had this whole trauma and all this stuff, he was basically asleep most of the time. The game keeps you quite, like, alive and active. You have to be looking everywhere. You have to make sure they don't pop up anywhere. And this one, you know, the fool was asleep. Wakes up, he's got a scratch in his arm, and he's like, whoa, what? How did that happen? Right? So it didn't have that, like, fast pace that sometimes you get from the game itself. But it still had some pretty good backstory into understanding how these animatronics actually did come to life, and the evilness behind people. And unfortunately, that was probably the scariest part of it, because you think that the most fun place for kids would be the most innocent place, and we end up finding out that the one who owns the place, the one who takes charge of it, is the most evil out of all of them. So that's where you get that reality hit, where you're like, holy cow, this could actually probably really happen. Obviously not the whole, like, animatronics coming to life and having spirits of kids in them, obviously. But the animatronics can come to life, because I've already talked about how AI can really take, you know, its form into the horror film and how we shouldn't trust it. But you get to a point where you can see that the places that you think are kid-friendly or are very innocent can have some dark stories. And I think that's where we get from this. Like, you've always got to be on your guard, you know. And unfortunately, it sucks for the brother who wasn't, and he wanted to make sure his sister didn't go through the same thing. And so he was always trying to be more careful with her. But I think that's what you get out of this, is that you have to be more attentive to locations at where you're at. Again, the jump scares were really good. The story held up to what it was. And I guess the questions that I had at the beginning was just like, where did this guy come from? What's more of his backstory? Will we learn about it if they create another one? Because all we get is that he just was, you know, like, we get from the daughter, who is the sheriff or the cop or whatever, we get more of a story that he's been doing it for a long, long time, and then created a way for the spirits or the bodies of them to be stuck into the animatronics. But it never explains more of the reasons why he did that, or when he started, or what was the whole point of it. Not like the one, like, again, like the movie from Nicolas Cage. That one explained a lot, that the person who hired the ones in charge of the Willy's Wonderland, all of them were, you know, serial killers. And so when they started killing people, they realized that they had to do something. So then before they died, they, you know, they committed suicide to be able to come back to life to these animatronics. That makes total sense. This one, it kind of left me wondering, like, why was it happening? Why did it happen? Why was he doing it at the time, at this place, at this particular moment? Things like that. So those were the things that kind of left me in those questions. And maybe they're answered via reading the comics and reading everything else prior to that. But for anybody who has never seen the comics or understood that those comics were it, who probably would never watch it, I feel like they could have at least explained it a little bit more. So if they make the second one, let's hope they have that more of an explanation, because then it gives us a more understanding of, like, oh, that's why he did it. It was just more, he was just like, I did this because I wanted to. But it just didn't make, it didn't really give that basis of, wow, okay, that's his story. But anyway, everything else turned out really great, and I do recommend it if you want to get a good scare to it. The good part about this movie, it did not have anything to do with sex. It was straight out separate from that. It just had to deal with the story of him trying to figure out who killed his brother and kind of the trauma that came through that. And then it just went through, you know, how he started getting more involved into where he was working and how that was all there. It wasn't like Willy's Wonderland, which is now the one with Nicolas Cage, where, of course, it was really good. He didn't have any dialogue, but of course, there's a moment in time that they did include like a sexual part that it just really didn't make any sense. And I was glad that they died at the end. and if you haven't heard that, go to that episode and hear it, because honestly, that's exactly what happens. But in this one, it really kept it really good. It kept you engaged and trying to figure out what's going on. And once you find the whole part of the story, you're like, wow, this is really good. So for anybody who wants to see it and hopefully enjoys listening to the podcast, I recommend to go see it right now. It is on Peacock. So go ahead, enjoy it. If not, rent it from any other platform that you want to watch it on. And just know that 2023 did have some good horror films, aside from obviously Cocaine Bear and Winnie the Pooh. And then next week I'll be talking about basically what ended 2023, which was The World Left Behind, and kind of discuss how, you know, creepy it actually really was, and because it could be an actual real thing, and see exactly how that can really happen, or if not. So stay tuned, and I'll see you guys next week.
If you are prone to scare easily, avoiding all the scary horror movies you'll never watch but are intrigued to, Gio and Alex Watch and Review.